Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself and Pepe are delighted to welcome along Nadine Patterson. How you doing, pal?
Hello. Doing not too bad. Thank you very much for inviting me on. I'll try my hardest not to swear or embarrass you.
We do a good enough job of that ourselves most of the time, to be honest with you. You all good, Pepe?
I'm all good, mate. All good. Looking forward to getting back to talking football.
Yeah, that's it. And I think it's obviously for anyone listening, they'll understand it's another kind of poignant episode. We're delighted that Nadine's come on. It's been a real roller coaster over last 4 weeks. Nadine, how's yourself and the family bearing up just now?
It's been hard to sort of put into words, really. Still. Probably quite can't believe that Andrew's he's no longer with us. It's getting a wee bit easier every day, but you know, it's one of those things everybody says, you know, time is a healer and all that. But yeah, it's just strange. There's been a couple of things. The game on Saturday, fans being allowed to go along. I found myself really, really quite emotional on Saturday. Because I knew Andrew would have been there, he would have been absolutely buzzing. Wee things like that, especially the Euros as well, you know, watching the Scotland games. He was a big Scotland fan as well as Motherwell fan. So a couple of wee bits and pieces, but that's part and parcel, isn't it, of losing somebody. But my main reason for agreeing to come on tonight was really just to say thank you to everybody. And you know, thank you just doesn't seem the right word. It doesn't convey just how grateful we are. You know, the stuff that you guys have done, the wider kind of football community, all the guys on Twitter that he was friendly with, Motherwell FC, you know, turning up before his funeral, that will never, ever, you know, leave my mind and my heart. It's just unbelievable the way people have reached out and, you know, the generosity, the kindness. So it's brought probably a lot of people closer to me. You know, I've gotten to know you guys a wee bit more and other people that Andrew was friendly with, which is great. But yeah, it's been tough, but we'll all get there. There's people out there that I'm sure are dealing with, you know, so many more upsetting things. So I'm just grateful to have, you know, a good group of people around, myself and Angela and my dad. But thank you to you guys as well, for everything that you've done.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. It meant so much to so many people. And Pepe, I think that some of the things in the last couple of weeks, the great work by Pete to put together the pin, even last night, the idea to sponsor a shirt in Andy's honour, the response has been somewhat overwhelming. I had to take a couple of minutes yesterday just to kind of stare at the phone and kind of comprehend how amazingly generous people are. It's quite staggering at times.
I think generosity goes out the window, but when it's somebody like Andy, I mean, it's such a... I said it when we were on with Alan Burrows, there's such a consistent response to Andy. Everybody had the same things to say about him. And it has been kind of heartwarming. If that sounds right, that football brings this almost community or kind of family-like atmosphere. Now that they're only worse, but it has been so encouraging. I mean, people, the amount of people that said that they met Andy, hadn't really spoke to him other than online. To be honest with you, and I'm not exaggerating, I've never seen anything like that before. It was unbelievable. And I think if he was looking down, he would be proud. Certainly a few times on Saturday, I looked down at the badge, particularly when we were getting beat 2-0. I've got to say, I think the badge is brilliant. It was a great idea. And I think it's turned out absolutely brilliant. I think he would have had a wee chuckle to himself if he looked down and could see it. I will see it. And hopefully they sold out pretty quickly, and loads of people will continue to wear them in the game, and that'll just be that wee bit of Andy and each individual that bought one.
Yeah, it's
kind
of a nice wee comfort, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. I was just about to say, I totally agree with that. I mean, the pin is amazing, and when I look at it, I start laughing, actually, first of all, because I'm like, that is just Andrew Patterson. But it's so nice to see some pictures on Twitter and people commenting saying they've got theirs. Mine's actually came today, and, you know, I don't know if this is the right feeling to have felt when I opened it, but I was just so chuffed, and that's my big brother. But what you were saying there, you know, the kind of community spirit, I said this a couple of times talking to different people over the past few weeks, and I know if we supported a different club, I don't think things would have happened, or the, you know, the generosity and the reaching out would have been quite the same. And I think that's, you know, part of the special thing about supporting Motherwell. And over the years, all the years that I've supported Motherwell and gone to different events at Motherwell, things like that, you wouldn't get that supporting a bigger club. And it's just it's part of the reason I think so many people support Motherwell and continue to support Motherwell. You know, it's not just about what's happening on the park. You know, all these other things that go on that wouldn't if you supported a big team. Just my opinion, but it's been very, very humbling and just overwhelming. But the kindness will never, ever be forgotten. So anybody that's reached out, you know, if you want to go for a pint, they're on me.
The response and the reaction has been just incredible. I don't want to dwell on things too much, Nadine, or bring up anything, but in terms of the funeral and the players lying in the street, the management team lying in the street to pay their respects, it's just, I actually heard someone going into the church saying it was almost as if Andy had organised it himself.
Yeah.
It was just a perfect show of respect, and just a magnificent thing for Motherwell to do as well. They were obviously in the midst of pre-season training, but they were more than happy to stand out in the street for a fairly substantial period of time and show their respects, and they did that wonderfully.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing when we turned into Fir Park Street. You know, we could see obviously the road curves at a slight angle. We could see, you know, a couple of people standing out. And I'd pulled my mask down, you know, sort of COVID regs were out the window, just so I could sort of say thank you to people and smile and that kind of thing. And then when we actually turned and we were right outside the doors, it was, you know, we were obviously in the first car, myself, my dad, Angela, and none of us could actually speak. It was just so bizarre to see, you know, these guys are out for my brother, you know. And, you know, I can sometimes forget that, you know, yeah, he was my big brother. I've known him, obviously, my whole life. But, you know, he had this big circle of people that, you know, he was friendly with and done all these different things to do with Motherwell, that he was so quiet about. He kept himself to himself, you know, with things like that. And I know Angela said there was loads of stuff that he did that she didn't even know about. But for them to take that time, yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. And probably half of them don't even know most of them probably won't even know who Andrew Patterson was. But, you know, whoever's, you know, been able to arrange that, it was just, I know my dad as well, you know, he said he just will never, ever forget, you know, what we seen when we drove around there. And it was really, really special. And I laughed when you had said that. Andy about, you know, it was as if Andy had organised it himself. I actually think the opposite. Andrew would have been like mortified, you know, that all this fuss, all this, you know, carry on and hoo ha for him. But that was just who he was. That was just who he was. You know, the fact that I'm even sitting here with you two tonight, I don't know how you would feel about it. probably like my daft wee sister tagging on. But I hope he'd be proud. I hope he'd be proud that I had the guts to come on and try and not swear.
We'll certainly try and make it as easy for you as we possibly can. And I guess the next thing to address, Pepe, is the fact that we will continue on with the podcast, which is a decision that we've obviously spoke about between ourselves in the last couple of weeks. Generally, I think the consensus between us both was that's what Andy would have wanted as well. It was what kind of brought us together as friends. We spent hours and hours talking about football and just having that conversation on a weekly basis, especially during the pandemic times where you're not kind of getting to interact with people quite as much as you normally would have. It's been a source of comfort. It's been something that's just been nice to keep up and keep us connected. And I think particularly in the last year or so, to say that we grew a lot closer to Andy just through more podcasts and having the group chat, and I'm just checking in a lot more. As Nadine said there, he was a very quiet guy, but he's never short of an opinion, and a well-rounded opinion at that. And if we can even produce 50% of that level-headedness that Andy possessed, then I'm sure the podcast will continue to go from strength to strength. But it's very much an idea that will continue on, but that will be in honour of our great friend Andy.
It was something that had to be discussed, because it's at the same time we discussed when we done the podcast with Alan Burrows, was it the right thing to do? So we didn't want to, it seemed as if we were trying to disrespect particularly like Nadine and the family and stuff like that. But I think what you've said is 100% right. What Andy would have wanted would have been for us to continue on, as you said, over the kind of whole period of lockdown, whether it be is having to get somebody to get a Kahoot account to create a quiz, or just general banter on the particularly you giving me a hard time about Liverpool, and Andy being the kind of a man in the middle. And I think it's only right that we continue on. I think it would be, well, hopefully some people would miss it, but the most important thing is that we continue to do it as we would have done if Andy was still here. He might not be here to speak, but certainly it'll be he's every podcast that I'll do from now on, I'll certainly have Andy at the back of my mind.
Oh, absolutely. Really nice words from both of you there. So the season started. Two Premier Sports games down. Both victories. Both unconvincing victories, I guess. Queen's Park, a 1-0 victory last Wednesday. That was followed up by a 3-2 victory over Queen of the South in a game that we trailed 2-0 at half-time. But showed some decent fighting qualities, Pepe, in the second half. I think we could consider ourselves quite unfortunate to be 2-0 down at the break, but encouraging signs that the team managed to find that wee bit of a dig, drive and determination, and certainly helped by the 2,000 fans inside Fir Park who get treated to quite a game for the first game back.
That's great. First of all, going back, I mean, it really made you think about what football was all about. We've already discussed what football brings, and people that don't follow football don't understand this element of it. We've already spoke about with the connection and stuff. But I mean, I woke up on Friday night, I went into my bed like as if I was at primary school again. It was such a great feeling. Something that you took for granted that's been taken away from you. And then being so excited to go back. I think I was more excited than my 10-year-old boy. It was great. See, walking up the stairs, for it then to be ruined by you sending me a message to say your baldy head is even shinier in the sun. So you took the moment from me. But the game itself, I thought it was hilarious that we get the kick in, we hit it back to Dara O'Connor for his first touch, and then he lumps it out the park, and there was a kind of murmur of laughter around it. And then typical Millwall way, you go 2-0 down, as I've discussed, and then before you know it, the second half, I still was pretty confident we'd come back, to be honest with you. And it was a great way to finish it. And I think Graeme Alexander made a great point by saying that it really did make a difference as winning. It really should have been written in the stars that we won the game, that first game back at Fir Park. And I think that he's conducted himself great. The way that he kind of encouraged all the players to walk round. I had a quick chat with him a couple of weeks ago, and he's a really personable guy. And I'm really happy with him so far, the leadership qualities on the pitch. I think we still need 4 players at least. But listen, we've won 2 games, and let's remain positive.
It was a cracking day on Saturday as well. The sun was out. People clearly emotional about getting back to the football. It's nice just having these glimmers of normality returning to people's lives, and you could see how much it meant to so many getting the opportunity to be back inside Fir Park.
Totally, yeah. I mean, from the minute I got up on Saturday, I was kind of following everybody on Twitter, and you know, I had a big cheesy smile on my face, just, you know, what you'd said there, Pepe. Friday night, you know, people were saying it's like Christmas Eve, and I think I actually tweeted something like that saying Happy Christmas Day, Well fans. I mean, if I'd have been there, I would have felt the exact same, probably tinged with other emotions, obviously. But yeah, totally understand the excitement. And I think if we had to get beaten, it would have been gut-wrenching for the first game back in 500 odd days. But I was laughing when I was reading Twitter, obviously kind of following the scores, stuff like that. You know, the team getting booed off at half time for being 2-0 down. And then, you know, cheering myself when I'd seen, you know, the final score. But Graeme Alexander had said himself in the post-match interview, you know, that's the Motherwell roller coaster, and it is. And I'm not saying you want every game to start off in a, you know, a 2-0 kind of scoreline, but that's part and parcel of supporting Motherwell, and that's what adds excitement, I suppose. I mean, I know through my whole life going to Motherwell games, it's rarely has it been very, very easy. And that's part of the excitement. You know, do you want to go to a game where you're winning, you know, 2-3-0 every single game, or do you want that wee bit of excitement?
It wouldn't be Motherwell if they did it the simple way. We certainly get our money's worth when it comes to drama. Pepe, the match day experience, I thought it was pretty good. The atmosphere was possibly very similar to games at that stage of the season, where there's a reduced crowd normally in for these group games anyway. Obviously, it was limited to 2,000. The kiosks weren't open inside the ground, but people were spaced out quite well. It's comfortable. You didn't have to wear your mask in your seat, or they certainly weren't making that mandatory. I just thought it was great being back in, to be honest. I think that from what I saw on Saturday, that hopefully there is some room for increasing these numbers as the weeks go on.
I thought that the whole process, I was a wee bit kind of sceptical about what to expect, but to be honest with you, as you say, it was pretty much as you were. You could see that the measures were put in place, and you could understand why. It was pretty pain-free. Obviously, the main difference for me was I was in the upper, as yourself, in the south stand, and it did make the game feel that wee bit different. A completely different view for what I'm used to at Firth Park. But there wasn't anything at all that I could see that anybody could complain about. Obviously, the fact that the numbers were limited and it was only really season ticket holders, but that's the world that we're living in at the moment. But the club's got to be commended for not just for the way that it ran, but for me, Firth Park looked brilliant. I think it was you that said before it. I mean, they're saying that Firth Park is kind of really looking tired. For where we were sitting on Saturday, it looked phenomenal. I mean, the amount of people you've seen taking pictures up there, whether it's just because it's a different view of the stadium, but it just looked brilliant in the sun. An old-fashioned football stadium, and hopefully it remains that way for a long period of time.
Yeah, I think it was myself that pointed it out. It was one of the stewards, as I came in, had said that the place was looking magnificent, and the pitch was absolutely incredible. It looks like it's been painted on. These stands looking a lot fresher than it was prior to the lockdowns, and the game's been played behind closed doors. There's clearly been a great deal of investment there to bring it up to standard. So yeah, hopefully that means that it'll prolong the life of Firth Park. As I think we've all agreed on it in many occasions, the first choice would always be to remain at a rightful home. The thought of going to somewhere soulless and out the road just doesn't appeal whatsoever. So fingers crossed that is the step in the right direction. But the place was looking great. And another kind of side note as well, every steward you passed entering Firth Park on Saturday, everyone stopped and welcomed you back and had a smile on their faces. And the ones I could see anyway, the rest of them were wearing masks, so I couldn't confirm or deny whether they were smiling. But that's just a nice touch as well. Actually, the stewards kind of get a hard rap as the kind of firm faces and the jobs worth. Well, it was certainly the opposite on Saturday, and it was a very welcoming atmosphere, which could only bode well when you've got initiatives to try and get new fans in. If you're going to give them that experience and make them feel part of it, that can only bode well for going forward. We'll quickly talk about the Queen's Park game, because it was really quite a hard watch, to be perfectly honest. Nadine, you talked about the excitement of coming back from 2-0 down. Well, this wasn't very exciting. It was just managed to grind out a result against a team two divisions below us.
That's, again, it's just part and parcel, isn't it? I mean, you'd hope to go into a game like that and just win it, you know, in the first half, and it's done and dusted. But I suppose the players as well must be just kind of settling back in, and not to use it as an excuse, but the heat just now, none of us are used to it. We really aren't. So hopefully the two wins will give them a bit of confidence, you know, going forward. And we'll see how the new players settle in. And it was good to see Van Vliet getting in the team of the rounds on Saturday as well. So, we can only see. I was actually thinking there, Andy, when you had mentioned about the pitch looking painted on, I was actually talking to a friend about how good the pitch looked on Saturday night, having looked at all the photographs. And can you remember about, I don't even know how many years ago it was, people used to bring buckets and spades to Firth Park because it was that covered in sand. I mean, the ground itself, it's like night and day from 10, 15 years ago. So I totally agree how fantastic it looks just now.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant management in the way that they've worked it around. We've obviously got a fantastic team behind the scenes at Motherwell, and the groundsman's often lauded for how good his work is. The place was just looking top notch, and everything about the day in terms of the weather, it couldn't have come together better. It was a brilliant return. And Pepe, I think that what Nadine said there as well about the squad kind of gelling together and possibly not being as far down the line fitness-wise as perhaps they will be in 2 or 3 weeks' time, that makes these games a bit more difficult. But you can see, even with the benefit of 90 minutes against Queen's Park, that the players were able to bounce back from from a 2-0 deficit and finished the game pretty strongly. And I think that we looked fitter on Saturday than we did on the Wednesday, which has got to be a positive.
I think the one positive that I've taken from it with regards to fitness and getting a pre-season in with Stephen Lawless, he's been a bit of a disappointment if he come back, and I'm pretty sure he would say that himself. I think particularly against Queen of the South, he was my man of the match anyway. I thought he was everywhere and he was putting 100% effort in. Not that he's not put effort in before, but I just think he's possibly had to play due to the shortage of bodies at that particular time. So for me, over the last couple of games, he has been the main positive factor, along with Tony Watt. Tony Watt, he seems to be able to run non-stop. He brings so much energy. And again, I'll go back to it. When we signed him, I wasn't overly impressed, but I think he's really taken to the club. I think it's just a great fit. Motherwell and Tony Watt seems just to work, which is really encouraging. Another positive look for the Queen of the South game was Ken Woolrey. I don't know how to say his name yet. But we can't look too far in front. I always look back to the trophy. Remember the Friday night game against Morton a couple of years ago, where Seedorf and Hilton looked as if they were going to be world beaters. And I remember driving up the road that night and them talking to the radio, talking to Steve Robinson about his transfer window, and he said, looks as if I've got it right this year. And Seedorf and Hilton really kind of only went downhill from there. So we need to really judge it when the season starts, but we still need to look at the positives at the same time.
No, I completely agree. In terms of the new faces, there's been a stack load already, but it still does look like the squad is lacking in a few positions. I think not helped by the injury situation, and I think that the rules around isolation in football are going to cause untold problems over the course of the new season. You've already had Ross County having to take a 3-0 defeat in both their first two games in the cup competition, meaning that they're out before a ball's been kicked for themselves. So that's a concern that needs addressing. And you would have to think that we're going to need to get these guys in pretty quick, Pepe, because it's a case of we're only, 2.5 weeks away from the start of the league campaign, or just less than 3 weeks, rather. No, we're 2 weeks away. 13 days. So it's times of the essence. It's ticking.
Certainly, for a wee while there, it was a bit concerning that it felt as if nobody was ever going to sign. It was getting to the stage every day I was getting and checking Twitter, that the Motherwell media team seemed to be pretty consistent with their time. It's kind of 5 o'clock on the dot or 6 o'clock on the dot. So you're kind of a checking to see, because you were used to the whirlwind transfer window of the previous manager. Whereas this time, it's completely different. The biggest signing, though, has got to be Liam Kelly, which was proven against Queen of the South. The save that he pulled off at the end was just brilliant. I think we're severely lacking in the centre of the park. Now, if Nadine's listened back to any of the podcasts, that it's pretty clear that I'm not Bevis McGabby's biggest friend. But he's still come back, and you'd actually look at him and think, I would rather have him in there just now. Although Dara O'Connor has looked all right, he's really, really inexperienced. The middle of the park, we're definitely needing an attacking, creative midfielder. And the forward line seems to be pretty settled with Kevin Van Veen. He looks as if he's, when he gets a goal, he'll hit the ground running, hopefully. He was really, really, really unlucky. But as I said at the start of the podcast, I think we still need 4 players. Signed Mikael Parker, and if you look at his, I don't think he's played a senior game, so he might be a gem, but
he's going to need a wee bit of bedding in. So we're definitely short of the experience. I've read a lot of people saying that we're missing a kind of main spine of our team. But us and the manager hopefully knows who he wants to get. It's maybe just a bit of patience to wait and see who's going to come in the door.
The quote when he signed from Graeme Alexander is, "Michel has been training with us for a while now and has shown gradual improvement." That sounds like a report card where you would then put C- or something like that. I must admit, that's the most uninspiring quote around a new signing that I've ever heard. You've meant to big him up a wee bit, surely?
I've actually seen him playing. I was the fan on the hill at Millwall, and he came on. Was quite tidy in the ball. Quite similar to that of kind of Andy Rose type. Not overly exciting, but certainly he must be something. I mean, in the calibre of teams that he's played at, Liverpool, I think he went a short trial to West Ham. He was at Millwall, so he must have something about him. We'll probably get to see him on against Annan if we beat, or when we beat Airdrie on Wednesday night. And then we've not even mentioned the I'm a loser. I think we've kind of forgot that we've signed him as well. So there's certainly a few players there that we've yet to make an assessment of.
The one thing you can guarantee over the summer months at Motherwell is that there's going to be plenty of changes and plenty of new faces to get adjusted to, and this summer's been no different.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I was sitting looking this morning just at the kind of squad, and a couple of names that I'm not aware of. Obviously, you guys are you'll be aware of the previous clubs and stuff like that. But I don't know. Somebody was having a conversation earlier about the formation that we had on Saturday. You know, do you think we should stick with that formation, or, you know, should they bring some of these younger guys through? Does it need to be signings, new signings? You know, have we got players already there in the club that he could pull through, or is it just that wee bit too young, too inexperienced?
I would say that possibly we're definitely needing to bring in fresh faces. I think for a collective of reasons, the injury list doesn't seem to be going down any. Liam Grimshaw is another one that's been out for the best part of 6 or 7 months now, and it still hasn't come back into the reckoning. Liam Donnelly started on Saturday, but he's missed a season of football. So I think you've got a lot of guys that are going to take a bit of time to get back up to speed, along with the fact that you've lost guys like Alan Campbell, especially, that will take some amount of replacing. I don't actually think you can replace an Alan Campbell, someone that's come through the academy and developed into such a talent, brilliant off the park as well in terms of the way that he applied himself to the game, to get his levels of fitness as they were, and probably could have made us a lot of money had he not come to the end of his contract. But I think it's always difficult. I don't imagine there's a massive budget there, and it was quite surprising to hear that Liam Kelly signed for an actual fee. What that is, nobody really knows. Certainly not been reported, and very rarely do you hear a transfer fee being reported now. But I guess it's something else that I've been thinking about over the last couple of days. The fact that the brilliant season ticket initiative, for starters, in terms of honouring the free tickets as promised, that will ultimately mean that the revenue coming into the club is down. I think they've built up some amount of goodwill over the last year or so as well, just with all the fantastic things that are done within the club. I don't know whether that will give them a bit more leeway from some of the harsher fans or some of the more vocal fans. I certainly think, for me, just the way the club's run and the things that they're doing certainly gives them so much goodwill with me that I'm more realistic about how we do and who we're bringing in. So we are chopping in the bargain bin, but that's where we're at due to the circumstances of the last 18 months, revenue falls and things like that, and not really in terms of practically you're never going to be able to replace a David Turnbull, for instance. How much of the £3 million that the Motherwell have been able to reinvest in the playing side must be about 10% of it. So it's a very challenging job for Graeme Alexander, and I think when you're buying that many players in at the same time, you're going to get a few gems, but ultimately you're going to get a few that just don't quite make the grade.
I think that's the difficult thing with the players that we let go. The one that sticks in my mind is probably Jamie Semple. Like, I think Nadine does make a good point about what players have we got coming through, but I think that the issue that we have with that is that we had a whole group of young boys, and that's exactly what they are, coming through, that's probably going to be there for the next couple of years. So unless they're absolutely out of this world, I can't see them breaking into the squad, which is why I think we need to sign four or five players. Like, Jamie Semple was one of the ones that it was the next great hope. Do you know what I mean? He was going to be almost filling in when Alan Campbell left, almost. There was great kind of thing. I don't know if it's the pressure it put on his shoulders or not that made a difference. But if guys like that aren't going to get a chance, then I don't see our academy players coming up to make the step up. Hopefully I'm wrong and there's a whole load of brilliant players. We've seen some of the players in the Euros that are 18, 19 that are absolutely outstanding. But I stand by what I say. I still think we need a minimum of four kind of permanent signings and then a couple of loan signings just to get it over. But just what, touching something you said, Andy, about the injuries, and I've went on about this a good few times. I get quite frustrated. I've been really, really positive about the manager. I really like him, but I felt as if when Steve Robinson was there, you always knew where you stood with players. For example, with David Turnbull, we kind of always got updates and stuff like that. But you've just mentioned Liam Grimshaw, Mark O'Hara. We haven't even mentioned Conor Shields. There was Bevis McGarvey, Nathan McGinley. None of us knew what the situation was. Now, whether this is just his tactic or that he doesn't want to give away what the injury front is for opposition, but I find it quite frustrating because you're going in a Saturday or a Wednesday or whatever it's going to be, you don't know who's fit, who's not fit. Is it because of COVID issues? Is that why we're not telling people because they're having to isolate? I don't know. I just find it a wee bit frustrating. I mean, Conor Shields is signed, but he's not been in a squad. He wasn't in the squad against Millwall. Nothing been heard from him. Mark O'Hara is the same, but nothing comes out of that.
Yeah, you're kind of left in the dark, and there's an injury page on the official website, but it's only currently got Liam Donnelly and Liam Grimshaw on it. It just says that Liam Grimshaw's got glandular fever, and his date of return's not known yet, but it's... And for a stage, I think it also causes a wee bit of worry because it went that silent with Grimshaw. You're beginning to think that it could have been something. It was clearly serious, but you thought it was something really awry and that there was something to be really concerned about. And that's only caused by the silence and not really being forthcoming with that information. But yeah, I think it's. I think that's right. I think that. It would be helpful to be a wee bit more forthright with the injury news. Because, for talking's sake, if Liam Grimshaw is not capable of coming back in for the first couple of months of the season, that's possibly another position you need cover for. And the young guys, I think, naturally would step in on those occasions. But many of them have lost a year of their development due to the pandemic, so their progress has maybe been halted somewhat because of circumstance. So I think we're going to be operating with a massive squad, and that's not really anybody's fault, but it just means that you're going to have to get more bodies in, which increases the risk when you're shopping in the markets that Motherwell are. And it seems like we're quite often operating with a lot of trialists as well. And you would have to imagine that they're on the radar of a number of other teams as well. So you've got that competitive aspect of trying to go up against teams that are possibly possessing a bigger budget than us. So I think that at this moment in time, I wouldn't say I'm concerned about the squad, but I certainly think that it's going to be a very challenging season for Graeme Alexander just to negotiate all the hurdles that are being put in his way just now. We'll move on and talk about Wednesday night's game against Airdrie. The first derby since 2006. I'm not sure. Anyway, regardless, it's been the first one in a while. This is basically a home game for you, Nadine.
So this is Miss Andy, because he would have gave you the exact date, the attendance and the score.
I was just about to say that. he'd have told you the date, the time, the score, who scored, etc. I'm not as good as that. It's the home derby, and I really hope Motherwell absolutely pump Airdrie, just because that's what should happen. It'd be the same if it was at Aki's. Some of my earliest good memories of going to Motherwell games was against Airdrie and seeing my fellow school pals through the cage. Shouting that nice song, Section B, bleep, bleep, bleep. But yeah, it'll be good to see how they play against Airdrie. I don't know if anything's been released about who's playing, if he's doing the same as Saturday, whatever, but I think it's good to have these friendlies, these derbies. It'll be good to play Aki's again. Be quite a while, I imagine, with them going down, but that's the exciting games that you won.
Yeah, it's a big occasion, Pepe, and that's definitely been heightened by the fact that 700 Motherwell fans will be in attendance at the game as well. It's very rare that I claim that I'm looking forward to a Wednesday night in Airdrie, but I certainly am this one.
Oh, I'm buzzing for it, honestly. Thinking, well, please let that be at Fir Park and then let us, the fans, be back in. And then when I seen it was away, I'm like, oh, shit. But to get that kind of a wee boost to say Motherwell fans will be going to Airdrie, I was absolutely delighted. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Although it is competitive, I mean, at the end of the day, this will be one of their biggest games of the season. That's not... forget, and I'll be honest with you, there'll not be many more that I'll be looking forward to than going and getting Airdrie a good doing. I mean, I go back when they were signing guys like Justin Fashanu and Gus Caesar, and it was great having that kind of rivalry almost in a kind of, it was a yearly, every year they were up for maybe about 3-4 years, my keeper John Martin and stuff, going over to the old stadium. For me, I've said this numerous occasions, Aki's for me are just another team in the league. I don't have that total hatred, because I don't know if it's because they weren't really there when I was growing up, but I don't really think that they've got maybe about 10 or 15 wee guys that shout at the end of it. They don't really bring an atmosphere, but when Airdrie come, that's the real derby in my view. And I'm so wanting to go there. Be my first time that my wee boy will be there that's been to it, and I've said to him, this is a real derby, and I hope we go and absolutely pump them, embarrass them, because I absolutely hate them. I really do. I know that's a strong word, but Airdrie are just the worst that you can have, in a good way, because it makes that competitive game, that wee, gives you that wee edge. So if you don't get, if I haven't expressed myself well enough there, that I'm looking forward to it, I don't know how else I can do it.
Andy, just to let you know, it was the 6th of January 2007. Motherwell won 1-0 away. There's your stats.
Richie Foran. Well, so I thought it was 2005 or 2006, so well, not quite as long ago, but 14 years, it's a
long
fair
time.
Absence.
Yeah.
And do you think, Pepe, that is one that those within, well, certainly the playing squad just now won't be aware of the significance of this one? Maybe Tony Watt is an ex-Airdrie player, and having kind of been in and around Airdrie will know the significance. Keith Lasley, you would expect, although he's maybe not played in a Motherwell Airdrie match. But hopefully those that have been in and around the club for a long time in the backroom staff will be having the players G'd up and let them be under no illusions as to the importance of this game.
I mean, you heard how much I'm looking forward to it just there. But, I mean, you would like to think that this is the real derby. This is, they've got to these things don't come around that often, as I've said. 2007, and I can still remember it. There was carnage going up to it. It was just, you could feel the tension in the air, and it was great. And I think the players will maybe not realise just how much of a kind of a rivalry there is between Motherwell and Airdrie until the game actually. They can feel it inside that stadium. I think it is quite apparent. It's the first away game that will be going to for this whole period is the Airdrie. You couldn't have picked a better game for your first away game to be. And I think the fans being there gives a massive advantage to Motherwell. And I think the fans being the voice that the fans will have will be enough for the players to understand how much it means to us. I couldn't think of anything worse coming away with even a draw against that mob. This wouldn't be worth Twitter and stuff like that. I know quite a few Airdrie fans, so I would be getting pelters for the next 15 years. So hopefully the players do know, and if they don't, as the fans that are going, include myself in that, will certainly let them know that means a lot to us.
And Nadine, it's an opportunity as well to wrap up the group. If Motherwell win, that would take them on to 9 points. I don't think they could be caught from there in terms of standings in the top of the group. So you progress to the last 16 of the cup, and that's when we start to get ourselves carried away and believe that this might be the year that we go on and lift a trophy.
Yeah, why not? That's what it's about. You know, you've got to have that confidence without the arrogance. But yeah, I don't see why we can't. I really don't. I know we've been spoiled the past couple of seasons. You know, we were never away for Hampden, and it's just a totally different experience. Fantastic days out, and you hope to lift, you know, that trophy at the end of it. But as long as they keep up the confidence and just play decent football, if only it was easy as that. But yeah, I think having won the past two games, you know, and if we can win on Wednesday night, definitely against Airdrie, as Pepe says, it's a big, big one. I don't see why we can't have a wee bit of hope.
That's it. I think Pepe as well, a kind of obvious point is, and I thought we talked about this in the phone the other day, just kind of the ridiculous notion in Premier Sports before the game the other night that because Motherwell had lost two pre-season games, they were in a losing habit. But you turn it into the competitive games. We've won our first two. If we can get two positive results on Wednesday and then going into the Annan game on the Saturday, if you've got four wins from four there, there's no better way to go into the season opener against Hibs than on that high and in that winning habit.
Well, certainly that kind of pissed me off the other day whilst watching Shelly Kerr pre-match in Premier Sports. It was just such a ridiculous comment to make. The fact that the only thing that kind of concerned me was that they didn't put the ball in the back of the net. The fact that we get beat, I couldn't care less. I mean, as Nadine brought up the point earlier on about with the young boys, that was probably the first time that some of these young boys had actually played, although it being a friendly, a kind of professional game. And I think something in the Dumbarton game was maybe like 23 players used. So for somebody that's getting paid to be a pundit, taking my baby, almost saying that we're on a losing mentality because we get beaten our first couple of games, was honestly, I was ready for this turning it off. I actually did. I actually went on to see if I was even going to contemplate listening to Jock Brown rather than listening to her again, but unfortunately it was the Motherwell TV wasn't on. But listen, I'm just getting annoyed with that. I forgot that we'd even discussed that. What was the actual point? I forgot. I've annoyed after the
I'm just feeling really guilty for annoying you.
No, it did. I was thinking to myself, I mean, she's meant to be the ex-Scotland manager, and she's grown a bit pre-season, as if we were, that was us. We're on a losing streak. We played Dumbarton and Millwall. Do you know what I mean? It was, gave me hope.
Oh, well, that was, I'm glad I actually asked you that question, though. That was quite a funny response. just about there in terms of stuff for this week, guys. We spoke at the outset of the show that we're raising some funds to sponsor a shirt, a home jersey in honour of Andy. The Just Giving page is linked up on a Twitter page. In the first day, we've already hit £640, which is just absolutely staggering, to be honest.
Wow, that's amazing.
The remainder of the funds, what we're going to do is we'll donate that to the Well In scheme, which provides season tickets for the unemployed and low-income families around the Lanarkshire area. So certainly a great cause. We've made enough money for the strip sponsorship. Mary from Motherwell's going to get in touch in the next couple of days, and we'll see what players are available, and we'll talk amongst ourselves to get that all organised. In the meantime, if you can spare even the smallest of sums, it'll be going towards the Well In scheme now. And it's just a thing to help us remember Andy by and just keep his amazing legacy going. I've got to mention the Thread and Steel Men Online as well, which has just been full of lovely stories and lovely tributes from the great and the good of Motherwell supporters. There's a cliche that exists in this world that there's nobody has a bad word to say about him. That exists because of Andy, I think. And I think these last 4 weeks have really shown that it meant so much. And the thing that you touched on earlier, Nadine, about doing things that not even his wife knew about, just fantastic wee gestures that he clearly thought nothing of, but were so appreciated by the recipients of that. And it's testimony to him, the wonderful tributes and that sum of money raised already. It is quite staggering, especially on the back of people buying the pin badges as well.
I was going to say that, and I mean it's not an easy time for everybody at the moment. We are just coming out the back end of, you know, the pandemic, and I know myself, you know, my job was kind of, you know, my jacket was in a shugly nail, as they say, and there'll be a lot of people out of work, a lot of people still trying to find their feet after it. And Motherwell, you know, the fan base is predominantly, I believe, a kind of lower income. That's the whole reason Motherwell started, you know, the initiative with the season tickets. So for people to actually do stuff like that, you know, it is amazing. It is fantastic. And, you know, once the shirt sponsor has been paid for, the fact that that money's going back into the club, that's tremendous. I know that one of Andrew's colleagues had arranged a similar sort of collection type at his workplace, and, you know, it's going straight to Motherwell. You know, Angela's not, you know, keeping anything. You know, it's going straight into Motherwell, because that's what he would have wanted. He would have wanted, you know, it's not going to, you know, buy a new player, but, you know, if it helps two or three people get to go and see Motherwell, that's absolutely fantastic. So, again, just from, you know, myself and Angela, my dad, you know, thank you so, so much. The fact that people are doing this in Andrew's name, I can't quite convey, you know, what it means, but well done, everybody. And everybody that's played a part in, you know, doing it, you know, the pins yourself, overwhelming. These are a great bunch of guys.
That's lovely to say that, and it really does. Is I think it's been something that's offered a little bit of comfort personally over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it's also nice doing things like this tonight, where we can share some stories and reminisce, and that's what it's all about, really, in terms of going forward. Please, anything that we can do, you're very much at the forefront of our minds very often, and anything that we can do supporting going forward, please let us know. We're more than happy to do so, and I guess we're looking forward to continuing on in Andy's honour, and I think that We've lost a lot of common sense from this podcast, certainly, and maybe tonight's been the proof of the pudding. We've brought you in for some much needed Paterson wisdom, and thank you very much for providing that.
Have I provided that? Really? Wow. No, thanks for inviting me. It's been good fun. It's been good fun. I'll happily though continue just listening in the car on my way to work, and nodding along on the M8 rather than taking part. I'll leave you guys to get on with it. But thank you so much, it's been great, it's been really, really good fun.
A pleasure. Pepe, thank you very much for your time tonight, mate.
No problem. I'm just a wee bit concerned about the shirt sponsor, right enough, that no doubt Andy will have one last laugh over me, and it'll be Bevis McGabby's shirt that will be
Do you know what, actually I was going to suggest Bevis McGabby just purely from your comment earlier, but no. I think we had both been saying the other day, Andy, a younger player, but I'll let you guys decide. I'll let you guys see who's available and pick the best person, but if Bevis is available, I mean, that would be great.
Yeah, I think that's got to be an absolute shoo-in of a plan. That's it decided. If Bevis is available, it's Bevis. Bevis, thanks for your time tonight, mate. And in an hour's time, we're going on an Airdrie podcast, so that's something to look forward to.
I don't think I'll be able to be as passionate in that one.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next week. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
The people around, do you ask yourself from time to time, should I stick around forever, is it gonna be fine? So go and tell me now, will you get out? You can live your life forever with your head in the clouds, and you can chase those dreams through all of the schemes, you can take on all the world, show us what it means. Take me into your soul. Things that you said, or do you just give up and throw it away and accept that life is only just a game that we all play? Take me into your show. What do you say?
Schemes and all the young teams. I'm gonna-